Never a Cloud. Chapter 1. Strange and Wonderful. Blue Violet. One boyfriend called me. I explained the science behind ultraviolet light. The cowboy from Cheyenne, Wyoming, rode in and christened me Violent Love. But I kicked him out, his saddle and his horse wonky, too. Besides, he insisted on smoking in bed. The barbarian from Barbados, who dubbed me Drooping Violet, did so knowing I was in excellent health. The environmental lawyer from Hoboken, who sailed the Sun Odyssey 49, used the cloying nickname Common Violet only once. The beat poet who cleansed his unwanted energy by singing when he asked for a glass of violet water, I encouraged because I liked his voice. I tell you this because it is nearly impossible to fully know anyone. Something along the lines of watching cloud formations and attempting to describe them, let alone recount their liveliness or artifice in motion. Even clouds have character. A careful observer can only know the sky if they have taken the time to live beneath it. As your storyteller, I acknowledge my limitations. My parents should have known that a name like Violet would cause some trouble. My father, Thomas Gray, was a physicist. I do wish he'd left Violet suspended at the inner edge of the arc. Instead, I spent a lifetime insisting indigo belonged to the color order of the rainbow and, as proof, repeating Sir Isaac Newton's mnemonic device. Richard of York gave battle in vain. For my part, I named my daughter Ava. Don't tell me about your successes, not just yet, but do guard your story well. This is a novel about a motley crew who grew into a family, and how I became the matriarch. We are not different in our private concerns and wishes. I always carry a notepad, jot down the date, and write a sentence or two that accumulate into a number of illegible longhand pages. I am a writer. I had a path that I crisscrossed over Maine's rocky shore with a dog that I named Galaxy. Archibald Reed was off the road and over the bluff, hiking down to the Atlantic Ocean, before he heard my goodbye. Actually, he missed it altogether because I said nothing. And I was just beginning to like his smell. He fathered my child, and even wilder and stranger than to dream of Shambhala, he never knew it. In the beginning, I collected fragments, but years have flown, and much has happened since I attended my first New Year's celebration at Otterburn in Wyndham, a sleepy dot of a village on the backside of Perthshire, Scotland. It was then that Archie's daughter, Margot Reed, handed me the letters. Perhaps I should state clearly why the events that unfolded matter. Being of no historical or political import, if one is to judge pinpoints in time by the ushering in of a new pope or the dismissal of a president with tiny hands, I am writing a map for you, complemented by other stories I heard afterward, if my memory serves me. A constellation, if you will, of soul and matter, and truths herein revealed when a bankrupt way of talking to someone is denied. Dear friend, I wasn't headed somewhere to do something, or archive a dream, or achieve a specific goal, per se, but to be there. Margot is Ava's half-sister, one she's never met. I tried to shield her from this convoluted, at times admittedly challenging, family. On sober reflection, my psychoanalyst suggested once that I was riddling my obsessions by recording the transparencies I'd witnessed through others' stories, and that this action was a desire to heal, and there could be some truth in this. Let us say it is an act of love. I do not promise you an accomplished design. Sometimes you have to believe things that are in contradiction among themselves.